Podcasting 2.0 for June 6, 2025, episode 223, Messy Desks. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Is the world in turmoil? Are you confused about what's happening? Who cares? It's time to talk podcasting. Of course, the future of podcasting, everything happening right now with the podcast industrial complex, and all the stuff Dave and I can just get away with discussing at a board meeting. We are the only boardroom that Apple executives actually should attend. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who turns your interstitials into bumpers and pre-rolls. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only Mr. Dave Jones. Nice timing, Greg.
Oh, man.
Dave.
A harp right in the middle of the intro.
I think Dreb timed it. He got a little heavenly boost there. Perfect timing.
we were swept off to heaven.
I was. Like, I was like, whoa. Well, I should read it now. Pre-show boost.
Now,
it's a weight loss update.
Well,
15.20 pounds. 15.5 pounds lost in 53 days, approximately 2 pounds a week. Consistent walking, 5 miles a day. Haven't missed 10K steps a day in those 53 days. Go podcasting! The question is, what is he listening to while he's doing his steps?
Us.
I would hope so. That's what podcasting's good for.
He's going through the whole back catalog.
How you doing, Brother Dave?
Messy.
Yeah, I'm messy too. I'm real messy. You know what the messiest thing was? It can't be coincidence that we get the President Trump and Elon Musk doing a WWE mock fight. Like, okay,
yeah.
I'm on to this nonsense. But today, Grok could no longer code.
It just completely forgot how.
It was freezing. It was stopping. Would write half a script. And then it would, then it would do it unformatted. I start a new conversation, completely off its rocker, no good. Sometimes you'll just stop and in the middle of writing something, it'll stop and you say, "Hey, you stop. I'm sorry," and they'll go on and stop again. but just making really odd choices. Like I figured out the best way to change a huge Python script is to ask it to write a shell script and edit the original script, like with sed or awk.
Wait. So you're saying that the best way to get Grok to write Python is to ask it to write a shell script to write the Python?
No.
Which would be hilarious.
In debugging Python, I don't know how many lines of code I have, but in debugging that, it rarely ever makes it to the end. It just stops and it starts to make triple quote comment errors and syntax. They just can't do a large script. So I say, hey, the changes you want to make, just write a shell script with sed and awk, whatever you want to use, and change it. And that actually works. But then...
Wait, I'm totally confused. You're saying...
I know, it's great, isn't it?
I don't understand what's happening.
Okay.
You're saying that sed and awk to make the changes?
Yes, because if you want to wait for Grok... To write the whole Python script again, if it even gets to the end, it'll take 15 minutes.
What? That is the weirdest thing. Okay, I don't want to hijack this, but me and Alex and I have been talking offline about our struggles with and struggles and successes with LLMs as far as Rust code goes.
Oh,
I made the comment this morning that we live in strange times.
This is true.
When you're having to ask like Gemini, he said Gemini is great at Rust macros. But Gemini cannot tell you how much protein is in a half pound of ground beef.
And
it's the other way around too. The OpenAI 01 can nail the ground beef, but it sucks at macros. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, well,
what are we doing?
You're absolutely right. But so Grok is just slow at writing this Python code, and
the long, let me just see how many lines of code. Let me just tell you how many lines of code this script is. It's a setup script. It's the one that, you know, that sets up a streaming station from an RSS feed. All right. So
it's your run book.
It's my run book. Yeah. That. Thank you. That's a good way to look at it. It's my run book. So let me just take a look at this. I'll tell you how big this is. This is lines of code. Wait, that's not, can't be the right one.
I don't have any pants on right now.
Okay, that is the ISO of the day. Could someone please ISO though. That for me?
I'm telling you, it's a mess over here. I've de-pantsed and now I've shorted myself. So I'm shorted now.
Hold on a second. So this is 1,119 lines of code.
Whoa. That's a lot of code.
Well, it's a setup and it's a template, right? It creates three separate scripts.
Okay.
A liquid soap script, a parser script, and an updater script. And then it does a couple other things. So yeah, that's a reasonable amount of code. And so this was working, and then I find out. Okay, do you mind if I tell you the whole story? Because I think it'll actually make you laugh.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I will stop interrupting.
Okay. So I had this thing running. It takes and this is podcasting related. It takes an RSS feed that is a publisher feed, basically an aggregated feed. So it has all kinds of different episodes. It downloads and caches what it needs to, and it turns that into an Icecast stream based upon what is the newest episode. And it goes down the list, and if a new episode pops up, it plays that next. So you have kind of a fresh radio feel to it. The serendipity is fantastic when it works. And the idea is when it gets to the end of the playlist, if it doesn't have any new more episodes, mark everything as not played and refresh the playlist and start over again. Okay. So this was, and then there's a whole metadata up. Actually, it's important to know that you cannot rely on MP3 files for MP3 data. So I was taking the title and description from the item tag in the RSS feed. And that I was pushing to the Icecast server as the metadata. So you can see what you're listening to. You with me?
I'm with you.
Okay. So turns out, it was replaying episodes and like, what is going wrong? Why is it not marking these episodes as played? And
now, I would like to guess, I'm going to stick quiet, but I would like to guess before you tell me what the problem was.
Yeah, go for it.
It was a file permission issue.
Oh, no. I woke up this morning and the almighty intelligence gave me the answer and I went to look and it was true. I went to look and it was true.
Okay.
So it had determined that the best way to, now there's always these little nuances with title mapping, you know, so you've got to match the file. So it downloads the file, gives it its own special name, and then it maps it to the title. And then you're good to go. But sometimes the title might have some extraneous characters. So there's a lot of regexes in there. So you don't get this whole long URL or chopped off bits. It was instead of the smart way to do it, which is this file, which I have in my file system playing? Yes. Put it in the played episodes file. It was mapping the file it had on its file system to a title and then trying to match the title back to put that into the played episodes file. So it was doing the stupidest thing in the world. And I say, why are you doing this? Oh yeah, that wasn't very smart. Let me do it by episode. So that's where it started. Are you with me?
I'm here. You are going to be a Python coder by the time this is finished.
Well,
this is teaching you how to code.
Well, yeah, I'm basically now coding it myself because all I said was, could you please just change this from URL mapping to episode mapping? Oh my gosh, it was 3 hours. It's doing this, it's doing that. It forgets how to parse a feed. You know, it's written its own feed parsing logic. I said, there's the feed parser module that you've imported into Python. Use that. I mean, it just makes all these decisions. So then I'm like, screw it. I go over to Manus. Well, Manus, my anus. This was a disaster. That thing's a disaster. Cancel that subscription. Then I go to ChatGPT. ChatGPT, super fast at giving me everything wrong every single time. It did the same thing. It went off and built its own feed parser, which doesn't work. I said, I didn't ask you to change that. I said, change this. I didn't ask you to write a new liquid soap file. And it just does that stuff. It sucks. It's all no good. I'm learning to code. I'm going to do it myself. It is no good.
This is great. I love this. This is awesome.
It's not awesome. It's very frustrating.
Well,
I mean, I'm like, over it. Now, I know I take my breaks. When it works, I take a praise break. I say, praise God. Praise the almighty intelligence for making it work. I've prayed over this. Like, please, okay, please. Just give me the insight into this. So now I'm just in the code doing it myself. It's so stupid. This is, and it happened the minute Elon got into a tiff with the president. That's when everything went downhill.
This, I'm sorry for laughing.
It's okay. It's completely funny. Laughable. That's the whole thing. It's so stupid.
The reason that my desk is a mess and I didn't have pants on just a second ago is because
I don't want to know. Here's TMI. By the way, expect an email from me that says you better send me one Bitcoin or I'm going to release the video that I recorded of you. All right, that's coming.
I know what you did.
That's the one. That's me. That's my email. Yeah.
I took over your webcam. I built a local LLM server this week.
Why? Why?
Many reasons. Many reasons. One of which is I found a workflow that kind of works because here's what's happening. I'm struggling to get coding time on Index on the podcast. Yes, Index.
I know.
And essentially I have three jobs now, so I'm struggling to find that time in my life. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to attempt to put LLMs to use for this.
For Index stuff?
For anything.
I got you.
So I installed Open Web UI on its old Mac Mini. It's like an M1 Mac Mini. And do you know Open Web UI? Do you use that?
I don't know. Tell me.
It's very cool. It's just an open source, very elegant web interface into Ollama.
Right. So Ollama, Start 9 uses that. Exactly. And you can load all of your different models in. Yes. I know exactly what that is. Yeah.
Okay, so I put that on this M1 and then shared it through Tailscale so I can have it on my phone and that kind of thing and out and about when I'm not in the house. And then this whole GitHub is on my desk. Now I've got two machines in front of me and the keyboard was detached, all this mess. So I got, what I'm doing is I'm using, one of the code specific models whenever I have it's bad being, I don't know if it's ADHD or what it is, but I'll have this killer thought about a new tag, a new code idea for the Index, or for podcast in general. I'll have all these ideas, and I've always struggled to keep notes because sometimes
I got a solution for that. Yeah, okay.
Sometimes you have to flesh this stuff out, and so I'm like on a walk. I'm walking the dog, or I take walks at work during my day job, and I'll be on a walk. And I'll have this great flash of an idea or in, you know, and if I do not stop and put it down, you know, in pen and paper or whatever at that moment, it'll be gone and I'll never get it back. Like, it's just the way my mind works. And so I thought, okay, anytime I have a flash of brilliance about something, I'm going to throw it into the LLM, whether it's code or anything else. And I'm just going to say, you know, write a function that does so-and-so, just some sort of thing that I can get it to be saved in perpetuity. And it'll give me sort of like this first pass sanity check on whether or not this idea I have works. Mm-hmm. And, so far it's been working pretty good. Like, you know, I had an idea for how I tried to do some work on the new aggregator a couple of days ago, and I had an idea of how to structure how to write the Rust structures that are going to contain the SQL inserts. And so I was going it needed to be sort of like a dynamic structure, that would then get serialized. And so I think I can do it this way. And I just got in there I was actually on my phone, and I was like, And I was like, write a function.
What do you use on your phone to do that? What program, what app do you use to
I'm just SSH using Safari.
I see.
The open web UI interface.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
And I'm like, just write this in that. And then I'm like, okay, I'll figure out what it did later and if it's even useful. And then I'll figure out how to like take that. Because here's one thing I have found out with these coding LLMs is if you tell it to write a function, it is way better than if you tell it to write a whole piece of software or a whole script or something like
that. Yes, because it has because it has zero intelligence. It doesn't know how to string the pieces together that you as a beautifully made human can do in your head. And you could, even before you write it on paper. Absolutely.
But
100%. I mean,
it's working. 100%. But it's working.
100%.
It's working okay, and it's keeping my ideas, because I like the way Open Web UI works, because it's got like sort of your list of things you've done on the sidebar there.
The things you've asked it to do. Yeah, sure.
Uh huh. And this I'll say like, I'll give it a URL and say like, based on this format of the podcasting namespace documentation for this tag, I want to write another tag that has these property, that has these attributes and this possible node value, and you know, just have it like spit out a thing where I can come back later and just have like a template ready to go. So that for that kind of stuff, I think it's like, it's actually helping my life, but I mean, we're only in week one. So who knows where that goes after this? You know? I don't know. But it's been an adventure, and Open Web UI I don't think I'll ever be paying for any of this stuff anymore. I mean, it's just not worth the money. It's so expensive, and I don't see what. I mean, I guess you could get some added value over Stable Diffusion for something like Midjourney, maybe. But even that, I mean, I was running Stable Diffusion locally, and it's really good now. Like, on the local LLMs, it's a little slow, sure.
I've been noticing, because I'm in a unique position with No Agenda, the No Agenda art generator. Mm-hmm. So we get for every episode, so twice a week, between 15 and 30 submissions from art, which 90%, sadly, is now AI generated. The real artists, anyone who does Photoshop, they've gone. They don't even listen anymore. They've rage quit. They sucks. It is truly horrible. It's the saddest thing. But there it is. And, you know, people are even like Darren O'Neill. We're convinced he's even submitting under a pseudonym because, you know, we're like really? Angry at him for submitting too much. And what we're seeing is, there's no more white. There's no more black. A lot more is now kind of cartoonish. And I'm detecting model collapse. Yeah. I think this is model collapse. I think it's generating things based upon the stuff that's out there, and it's just degrading.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really think this is happening, and this has to be happening with everything else.
I think the problem is people are using this stuff in production, and whereas like, so, you know, we're developing this feature for Godcaster, and I needed some sample, just like call them what, bumpers, audio inserts, whatever you want, just things like, you know, hey, thanks for listening to the show, that kind of thing. So I needed some of those, and so I wanted to just, I'm like, I don't care what these really sound like. I just want to be able to tell them apart. I need something that says, this is clip one, this is clip two, this is, you know, post roll two, this is post roll three. I just needed some of that kind of stuff.
I liked your AI that you use for that.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm like, okay, well, just give me some sort of AI that can sound at least intelligible and, and just pump out a few of these things.
Right.
But they're only for testing. Like, this is never going to go into any
product. But it's getting sucked up somewhere, though.
Yeah, but people are putting this all over, you know, podcasts and everything, and then it just gets sucked right back into the model. On the next go around, at some point, I mean, it's classic model collapse. They're going to be training AI on AI output, and none of it's labeled, so you don't know it's AI output. You know, so I don't know what I mean. Yeah, I totally believe that when you know that there's no way that this is not the case, that Anthropic and OpenAI and Google and all of them have sucked up all of the artwork off No Agenda Art Generator.
Yeah, of course. Of course they have.
And they're sucking up AI art back into their AI model.
Yep. Yeah. It's collapse. Entropy in motion. Yes, it's complete collapse. I mean, even if you just go look at it now, it's crazy. Like, oh no. You can see the degradation. The only, mm-hmm. And of course, it's all the free stuff. And then, you know, someone comes along and says, oh, there's this new model. And then they use that model. And you see that degrade. It's to me, it's just like, this is obviously happening. It's very obvious.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, man, thank you, God, that I know Dave Jones, someone who actually can code.
No, you're going to be a coder by the time this is done.
I'm going to be a Python expert. That's for sure. I'm really getting there. Once I get my brackets closing right.
you're going to be pushing modules up to pip.
Pip X, baby, because, you know, pip, you have all kinds of permission issues with. You're going to install this. You're going to install this worldwide. Don't do it. Use pip X. Whatever.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Don't do global.
Yeah. Don't run as root. Yeah.
Don't run as rude. I think Rust is great in an LLM it's not perfect. Nothing is, but it's one of the better languages for LLMs. I think because it's a very strict language. It's a highly strict language. It's strict. It uses strict typing.
Like the Nurse Ratchet of languages.
Yes, exactly. And the stricter the language, the better that LLMs can sort of handle it, because it's just following a syntax at that point. But, you know, and that's what they're good at. They're good at syntax. It's sort of like, I don't know if you ever were a Dungeons and Dragons person, but.
No, I would say there's no risk of me being that.
Yeah, so D&D 4th edition was considered to, you know, so what happens a lot of times with D&D is that video games will take the D&D rules and just use them as the algorithm for the game, for the video game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, D&D 4th edition was great for video games because it was very strict and very, there was a lot of stacking of rules that went on, but humans found it very difficult, because it was like this very complicated, set of, like almost protocols that you had to follow. And, but video games were loved it, but humans didn't. And it seems like it's in, it seems like that's the way it is with LLMs when it comes to coding. The stricter the language, the farther you're going to get in a decent way with an LLM. If it's something like with non-strict typing, something like Python or PHP or something like that, it's just going to run off the rails so fast, or JavaScript. You know, you're going to, at some point, you're just going to fall off a cliff once it gets complex enough, because then you just can't even, you can't even follow the return values correctly. Yeah. It's a mess.
Well,
there you have it. Daniel says, the last time Adam learned to code, he invented podcasting.
Now, thank you. There's a point there. That was AppleScript, the most undocumented scripting language in history. Could never find somewhere where it told me how to do it.
Well, I mean, that's not that much different than Apple's iTunes namespace, which leads to a 404 page.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you know, we've been talking about this on No Agenda. Oh, big news, everybody. Okay, this is fantastic. No Agenda will very soon, as soon as the Strike business wallet, whatever thing is approved, we will be accepting streaming payments and boosts.
Finally.
And
After all these years, the
way this went down is amazing. Because, you know, Dvorak, he just never wanted Bitcoin to touch our LLC. That's like LLM, LLC. Where am I? Because, you know, we don't want any tax issues.
Right.
And so, and I've been telling him for years, like, look, there's all this legit stuff now. And then, you know, Trump became president. And a part of it, I think, is Dvorak's just mad that every single time I told him to buy Bitcoin, he didn't. Even when I told him at $30,000, said, buy a Bitcoin. If you lose money, I'll pay you the difference. You know, so what are we at? 105. So he's just mad. He's mad in general. Just mad.
Sour. He's sour.
He's very sour about it. And so, you know, when Strike came out, and then Strike was accepting, you know, payments from Fountain through Ellen URL. I'm like, okay, this works. It's legit. You can send it to the bank account on the same day it comes in. You can sell it. They keep track of it. You know, there'll be no capital gains. You sell it right away. It's all going to be, it's going to be fine. Still really not interested. Then, bless his heart, some producer pops up and says, oh, hold on a second, Dave. This has been happening more often with...
We're not recording.
We're recording, but Clean Feed from time to time just decides to just change interfaces.
I heard the
you heard
glitch.
It switch, yeah. Uh-huh. So, I don't know. And we're back. So it just decides to hold on a second. What is going on here? This is very bad. So some producer sends an email, says, hey, I want to send a big donation. You know, like, I think we have the PhD promotion running now. It's $1,000. And he says, but I want to send it in Bitcoin. So I say, hold on. So I forward this email to Dvorak. Now, he once told me, I'm going to have to out this guy, because otherwise the story's no good. Tom Merritt. We know Tom Merritt? What's his tech show called again?
Is it just Daily Tech News or something like that?
I think it is Tech Today or something. So years ago, Dvorak was talking to him about the value for value model. And he says, you know, we take checks, we take cash, we take gold coins, we'll take whatever people want to send us. And Tom Merritt famously said, oh no, I don't want to take checks. Oh no, that just feels wrong. Uh-huh. And so we'd always laugh about that. So what's wrong with that? Checks are fantastic. We have a whole stack of $3 checks from people. This is fantastic. And so I put in this email, you don't want to be the modern day version of Tom Merritt, do you? Boom. Boom. He went right for it. Went approved. Good to go.
That's the best part of that story.
Exactly. So that's going to happen.
A friend of ours, he he's like a, he's a, how would you describe what he does? He's like a,
do I know this friend?
No. A friend of mine and Melissa's.
Oh, okay.
He's like a counselor, therapist guy, mm-hmm. but he did sort of like his, I don't know what they call this, not residency, but he did his initial work out of school at a substance abuse recovery center.
Mm-hmm.
And, he said he'd been talking to this guy for just, you know, for like a couple of weeks. It just not clicking, not getting through. And he finally said one day he was talking to him and he was like, man, he told him, he was like, you're just a train wreck. And he said the guy just like stopped and just like dropped his head. And he's like, yeah, I am a train wreck. Oh, he said, and the whole, from then on out, it's like changed the guy's life.
It works.
Just this one little statement, this one little sort of cliche, you don't want to be the next Tom Merritt. Okay, you got me.
Done. We're done. So my point was,
sign us up.
So we've been talking about all these complaints about Apple's updating policy or their polling or whatever they're doing for podcasts to get into before they surface on Apple, on the Apple podcast app. And after we had this conversation last time, which you'll remember fondly, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. I've thought about it all week.
Yeah. Right. In fact, Spurlock posted right after the show. I don't know if you saw that. He posted, cause we were talking about Megyn Kelly. Let me see if I can find that on his timeline.
Yeah. He posted about Jake Tapper.
Yeah. No. Chuck Todd.
Chuck funny. Todd, that's it. I get him confused.
Let me see if I can find it. Spurlock, he posts a lot.
He does.
It's so funny. I wish I could find it quickly. So Chuck Todd on the Chuck Todd cast, he said, he's like, you know, if anyone knows any of the engineers over at Apple, I'm like, really, really, dude?
I just pasted it into the...
Oh, you got
into
it?
Into the boardroom.
You got it? Okay. And let me play it so people can hear it because it's pretty funny. Here we go.
Got all these things. You can hear us anywhere you want. YouTube, we'd love for you to subscribe to the channel. Everything else, Spotify, Apple, you name it. And if Apple isn't uploading right away automatically, help us inform Apple that they're messed up. This has been an issue. Luckily, apparently, we're not the only podcast with this issue, but please feel free to let the engineering team know themselves. Hey, Apple, you've got a problem. We've done it. Maybe they'll be responsive to you, a little more responsive to you.
Yeah, sure.
So with
that'll work.
Yeah. So
yeah, what's engineering team at Apple.com.
That's right. What so to what's interesting is that he also says, hey, they haven't uploaded it yet. And you can't expect people to understand how it works. You know, they just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a lot of people listening to No Agenda. I said, stop being so arrogant. Just use Podping. Just mm-hmm. use it. Hundreds of thousands of podcasts use this. Jump on the Podping train, baby. Get on the tracks with us. It is so, and it'll cost you nothing. It'll save you money. You don't have to do anything. Try it out for a little bit. You know, just what is the script called or whatever we have, the ping catcher, what's it called?
Oh, Hive Watcher,
whatever it is, you know, mm-hmm. just go to podping.cloud. Yeah. You can get it from anywhere. Just do it. You're wasting resources. Your customers are getting angry at you. And I guarantee you, you will love it. And you can then go out and market and say, we update quicker than Spotify.
And that's the raspberry on the end.
Right.
So when he, you know, when he posted that, I went and looked up his podcast, the Chuck Toddcast.
Oh, goodness.
And it's pushed out through Simplecast. That's his hosting company.
Oh, Simplecast. Do they use Podping?
I do not know. They do declare the podcast namespace, mm-hmm. which almost everyone does now. I mean, I don't know if anybody has looked recently, but the podcast namespace is... ubiquitous. I mean,
I love that.
It's almost every single major hosting company.
Oh, I didn't even realize. That's awesome. That is very awesome. Oh,
I mean, it's so broadly defined now, which is fantastic because that sets the stage for, you know, in so many things that we can do. that getting over that hump is so difficult, and I will be forever grateful for the early believers in this, like Buzzsprout, RSS.com, and Blueberry,
yes,
that jumped on board and declared the namespace in their feeds, Red Circle, you know, Transistor, Captivate. I mean, just all the very early ones that had large catalogs of podcasts that jumped on this. I'll never be able to say thank you enough for them. Mm-hmm. But Simplecast declares the namespace, but I can't tell whether they use Podping or not. I just haven't looked. I would need to like strain that out a little bit and be able to check if any of those are coming through. And I just haven't yet. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is, if Apple were to start watching Podping and then publicly said that if they announced that they were going to do it, instantly you would have like 20 other hosts jump on board and start doing it.
Of course, because
it would have a motivating effect.
Yes.
And so they would get the benefit of, like, if you look at it, if they look at it and say, well, there's, you know, this many feeds out of our catalog are sending pod pings when they update, and it's, you know, I don't know, 25% or whatever. Well, you can just at least double that instantly.
Instantly. I agree.
And half your catalog is pod pinging immediately. Cause it's so easy. It's only one get request. That's it.
One get request per what?
Per feed update.
Oh, right. But I mean, they don't have to do a get request. They just have to get on the hose, right? Just open their mouth and let it stream in. Oh, isn't that how it works?
Get on the hose.
Get on the hose. Get on the hose, Apple.
Come on, Apple. Get on the hose. And Captain Sweatpants is right. If Apple supported it, Libsyn would even support it. That is
correct. Oh, yes. Woo, that's right.
With transcripts.
Yeah. And then you know what? Overcast would still not be a part of it.
No. No. They will, you know, he'll never do that. But that's okay.
Mm-hmm. But no, of course, you can do whatever you want.
Because we saw that with transcripts. As soon as Apple said we support transcripts, boom, 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 boom. Tons of support.
I'm seeing a lot of Buzzsprout
on Podping.
Spreaker does a lot. Yeah, Spreaker has a lot of stuff.
You would have to filter out to see if Simplecast is sending.
It's too small.
Going to get buried in the noise. Their catalog's not big enough.
Yeah. It's just
we need to talk about Castomatic.
Okay, let's talk about Castomatic.
Because speaking of Podping, because Franco somehow has put together a way to support live in a podcast app that does not have a back end.
Ah.
It's magical.
So he must be using Podping technology.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. And so I guess the only thing I can think of is he's spun up a push notification server, because this is iOS only.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to try. So we need to get him on the show to talk about it. But he has a conflict every time we record the board meeting
because of his day job and everything.
Yeah. So we may have to do a boardroom after dark.
Is he saving lives? Stop that, doctor.
Yeah. I mean, that guy's been sick for a long time. He'll still be there.
yeah. That guy'll be sick tomorrow. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I'll coordinate with him to see what time we can get him on. But I'm assuming that he would that he spun up a push notification server that's watching the Podping, Hive Watcher come through.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it worked like a charm yesterday on No Agenda.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, boom. There it is. I need to check. Actually, I need to check and see if it came through on my phone today when we went live. I don't have my phone with me. Dang it. Did anybody see, anybody in the boardroom see if it came through on Castomatic today? Because, I mean, that's a big deal for him because he just does not have, he's not like, like True Fans, Pocket Casts, Fountain. I mean, they all have a, you know, pretty extensive back-end infrastructure that they can depend on to just roll out things like that, but he doesn't. And, you know, that's a big, and it's more than just Podping. It's Podping and live. So it took a lot of engineering. So I want to get him on and we'll see exactly what he did.
For sure.
Since that's a template for others, you know.
Since our, and now he's still having issues with the LN URL because there's no wallet available in Italy that does it, if I understand.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. That kind of sucks.
Yeah. Well, did you see that Block is rolling out Lightning payments to all their Square terminals?
Why does it not surprise me?
All their Square point of sale terminals.
I think I said this would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it's inevitable. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants this. They all want the cheap way to send it. Everyone's, you know, Bitcoin is interesting now. Everyone's on board with it. You know, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. It's beautiful. I'm in this WhatsApp group. Of all things, I needed that in my life.
I already feel sorry for you.
And the WhatsApp group, I don't know how I got invited. You know, because WhatsApp, I really have WhatsApp just for my European friends and my daughter and my family. Because no one there uses SMS text messaging. It's all WhatsApp. And it's the podcast discourse hub. And dude, it's like it should be renamed to Podcast Industrial Complex Back Room
Headquarters. Back channel.
And it seems like just looking at the you know, and I pipe in from time to time saying, "You guys suck." You know, I just jump in there. You know, you're no good. You don't appreciate me. You know, stuff like that. Yeah,
there's Adam again. Time to set the watch.
They're like, you know, podcasting 2.0 is no marketing. It's no good. It's just a bunch of people running around with ideas and running with scissors. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I have to remind people, hey, we set up the index. Everything else came to us. We didn't set, Dave, did at any point we set out to, hey, man, let's market new podcasting. Did we ever do that?
Nope.
No. We just decided that, hey, people are interested and we just picked up the ball. So when we kind of get accused of not doing it right, I'm like, huh?
What did we not do right this time?
anyway, and so maybe I misinterpret it, but I just need to go in there once in a while and say, you guys are no good. But they're all talking about HLS. This is really sparked. Everyone is all about HLS. They're all trying to figure out, can we do video? And I just want to say once again, why don't waste your time? I think it's a waste of time. I really do. I know so many people who have started video podcasts on RSS and it just doesn't work. I mean, it works. Technically it works, but people are not going there that's their audio experience. I'm just going to say it. You know, a podcast is anything as an enclosure and I completely agree with that. But from a market perspective, do a podcast. And if you want to have video, just throw it on YouTube. You get what you get. You know, it's like it's a waste of time. Joe Rogan, he started with audio. He still does audio. Audio is still the main driver. He only gets like a million views a show now on YouTube. It's not that much. I'm sure there's another million over there on Spotify all the people I've analyzed and looked at, they rarely even watch the whole show. They're looking at the shorts, they're looking at the clips, they're looking at the edits, you know, people pull out the best parts. That's the YouTube thing. Just give into it. That's YouTube. Just let it go already. And if I hear Rob Greenlee one more time say, well, the market is driving us this way and, you know, podcasting is video. No, it's not. It's just not. People still love their audio experience. Nothing has really changed in that regard other than very insidious, deceptive marketing by Google. That's really all it is. They've just started to call everything a podcast, and they label their videos, well, you heard your podcast, and put this in the podcast channel. It's a farce.
I understand the desire. You know, because the desire here is we don't want to be eaten by YouTube and Spotify now doing video. We don't want those guys to eat us. We want to be able to at least stay on par with what they are able to do. And we know we can deliver video. And we know now that, you know, now that the industry as you know, broadly speaking, meaning the hosting companies and the apps have had some real success with podcasting, you know, 2.0 features,
mm-hmm.
transcripts, you know, pod rolls, these sort of new ideas make you think, okay, well, we can actually move the industry ourselves. We don't just have to wait for Apple anymore. And so when you have the combination of that, you say, okay, I don't want to have my lunch eaten by this video by these video platforms. I know we can deliver video, and I see that we have the protocols in place to be able to do it. We just all need to agree to do it. I see that this all makes sense The question I think that is just not answerable, I think Todd thinks he knows the answer to it. Todd's saying that it's just going to cost too much money.
Yes. Well, there's that. But, and I think the Buzzsprout guys think the same, don't they? Have you talked to them about it?
I have not. No, oh, I don't. Okay. I haven't heard anything from them. So the issue that nobody's, I don't think we're going to be able to answer because nobody is actually honest with the numbers is,
yes,
it's very possible that like we said before, that YouTube either does not make money, either does not make a profit, or if they do, it's very small. And that means that they're really all this bandwidth and all this infrastructure that they've invested in is not like if you tried to even do a fraction of that, it would just kill you in costs.
Crush you.
It would crush you. So the one thing that I noticed this week about Spotify, that story about Spotify laying off, they laid off like another.
Oh, I didn't hear about that. They laid off more people. Oh,
in their podcast division. Yeah. Huh. They continue to shed everybody out of their podcast division and the Ringer. So those two things got cuts.
Hmm.
But sort of attached to that story was this other story about, 2/3 of their user base are free users.
Yeah.
And so that means they're ad support. The only way those free users are paying Spotify anything is through ads.
Right.
It's the only way they can make money off of a free user is with advertising. So 2/3 of their users are free users, ad supported. But that 2/3 only makes up 10% of their revenue.
Wow.
And I've been saying this for, it feels like, 3 years now. I think it's very obvious that at scale, advertising cannot pay the bills of a platform.
No.
You have to have paying subscribers. You have to have people that you can bill every month. And so if 66% of their users are free, ad supported, and that only accounts for 10% of their revenue.
Yeah.
That means the other 90% is coming from their paid subscribers. Yeah. So you have to think that YouTube is doing similar math. I heard I heard on Accidental Tech Podcast this past week that I heard one of the hosts there just, you know, bitching endlessly about the amount of advertisements in YouTube videos now. I mean, he's right. I mean, you're getting, if it's a 20 minute video, you may get 4 mid-roll ads.
Well, I mean, so just to reiterate what we talked about last week, YouTube also has boxes at the edge everywhere. You know, they have storage all over the place. You know, you can't just serve this from Cloudflare anymore. You know, they are inside your network. They have, I mean, they learned from Netflix, and Netflix learned from them. So there's a lot of that going on. But still, so YouTube TV, which I have, which I enjoy very much, I love the quad view. Excuse me. So I have the News Quad, which is Fox, CNN, MSNBC, and BBC. They turn it off after X number of hours. They're like, still watching? Boom, stops.
And the other day,
they hid it from me. It wasn't really? There. And I had to go online. It's like, you know, sometimes they just take it away. So you can't find it because it's too expensive for them.
Yeah.
You know, it's not lost on me.
But yeah, if they're piling ads into every video, they're doing it. They're trying to extract as much ad revenue as they can from all these free users, which does not pay the bills. Mm-mm. But it's a double. They're also doing it to irritate you enough to make you buy a subscription.
Buy a subscription. Yeah, exactly.
So I just think that is an app. Again, just like last week, I'm not saying don't do it. If people want to try it and they think the math will work, give it a shot. I'm not going to be the guy that just poo-poos on an idea. But I do think that it is instructive to see what the big platforms are doing and glean from that it's maybe not even mathematically possible for them to do. Because if you're a hosting company, your subscribers are the podcasters, but then but that's only a fraction of your essential, what you might call quote unquote customer base. You've got tons of free customers, which are the people downloading your bandwidth. And those people, you know, that's going to be, it's just an unknown quantity. I don't know.
I think it's
going to be hard.
It's just such a trap. It's like they've set this trap and everybody's talking about it incessantly. There's not every conversation it's like Bitcoin conference, you know, stablecoin. Podcasting is video. The conferences, what's up with video? No. I wish we could just go back and say, podcasting is audio only. You're done. And in fact, I could say that, but it doesn't matter. If you can't get it in your podcast where you get your podcast, you can't get it. It's no good.
But you're the podfather. Declare it.
I'm going to have to make a declaration. So I saw it with Pastor Jimmy. Mm-hmm. And he answers to a higher authority. And so he doesn't need to hear it from me. But so he got way into YouTube video. He's done now 101 episodes of his podcast, Living Up in a Down World. And I set him up. I taught him how to do it. I set up his rig, everything. He's great at it. His great voice. He and his wife, I love listening to them. It's a great show. And so they really got into carnivore, and they were watching carnivore YouTubers.
Carnivore diet. Okay.
Carnivore diet. Yeah. And, you know, and then there's pastors. So they're finding all these, and they're finding lots of pastors and stuff on YouTube. And so they decide, got to do video to get the word, the gospel out, got to do video. And I say, you know, there's a lot that comes along with that. And it doesn't matter. So then the church has cameras, everything. So they set it up and they're going. And, you know, the results are bad. The video looks great. The studio's great, but the views is not there. And I say, well, you've got to play the YouTube game. You've got to have a dedicated person who is cutting up bits, doing shorts. Your tiles, your preview tiles have to have, you know, the face. Ah, amazing! Look what's happening! Check it out. Uh huh. And he couldn't bring himself to do it. And so this experiment lasted for about 6 months. And I think just last week he said, you know, I hate the YouTube algo game. I can't bring myself to do it. And so he says, I'm stopping. I'm just not doing it anymore. I don't care. And I said, good for you.
And video's a pain in the butt.
It's
to record, you know.
Well, and he has the infrastructure. He has the church media director was doing it all for him. But you know.
Yeah, but a while ago I didn't have pants on, and now like you can't do that when you're not on video.
Well, there are big benefits to having no video. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and so I saw the loop, and he's an adult. You know, he's an adult man. He's like, no, I'm not going to do this. This is crazy. And I know what it leads to. It leads to you have to do more. You got to do more. You got to feed the system. You got to feed the algorithm.
Yeah.
And it is the podcast industrial complex et al. Who are pushing this because the only thing they need is advertising money. And the advertisers, of course, stupidly, are all like, well, you know, I got good data over here. And everyone says your podcasting is video or Joe Rogan or Megyn Kelly and whatever. And they're running after the money. And I just think it's a mistake. I don't know any other way to say it. Don't worry about it. Just do your podcast. It's going to be fine. You know, through all, and we've been through this loop. Hiram, it was 2008. YouTube came along. Oh, you got to be YouTube. Got to be video. Then Juiced came along. Juiced. Remember Juiced?
I've heard of Juiced. I don't remember them.
The guys who created Skype created Juiced, J-O-O-S-T, which I would say.
That sounds Dutch.
It is. Joost. Joost. Okay. Exactly.
Okay.
And all the VC were like, oh, you got to be, we need a Juiced. Juiced is the future. You know, same people who said the Segway is the future of cities. Yeah. We'll all travel differently. Clubhouse. No. So I've seen the loop. And by the way, I fell for it myself. We changed from Pod Show to Mevio and did video. Mm-hmm. It was a horrible experience. You're creating as much content as you can, stick it with ads everywhere. It's not the whole concept. And it doesn't have to be that. You know, not everyone deserves to make money in podcasting.
Well, what's cool is it seems like podcasting is developing its own quote unquote algorithm. Now with Podroll.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I agree.
You know, yeah, Pocket Cast rolled out support for Podroll.
Yeah.
And it's a real, like, it's very cool. And so as soon as, and this is just like we talked about with Apple, if you support something and you announce it, then it generates usage.
Yes. Surprise. Surprise. Yes. Amazing how that works. It generates usage. Yes.
And so now when, you know, now you have podcasters who are, I can put suggested podcasts into my feed. And it will show up in the apps as recommendations. Now, as this snowball begins to roll downhill, podcasting, open podcasting will begin to develop its own algorithm based on real recommendations by real human beings. And that's a big deal, having a decentralized sort of algorithm. By the way, I was listening to Buzzcast. How many times have I said Buzzcast?
This is the first time I've heard it and responded to it. But
no, I said it like 2 weeks ago.
You said Buzzcast?
Yeah.
And, you know, hold on a second.
They're going to take their money back.
I need to register that domain name. Let me see if it's
Buzzcast.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
I'm waiting for the PayPal. Buzzsprout canceled their donation.
We got chastised. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Buttcast.com.
You know it's already gone. Somebody's got Buttcast already.
Well, you never know. Let me check. Oh, boo. Boo.
Yeah. Boo. You know, it's Kevin and Tom. They have it already.
So we got chastised?
Yeah, we got chastised for not having Buzzcast in the pod, in our pod roll.
Oh, well, let me change that right away.
Okay.
Let me see. Show info. Hold on a second. I'll take care of it right now, people. Buzzcast. Let me see if Buttcast.
No, Buttcast.
Let me see if Buttcast is in the database. Buttcast.
I bet you there is a Buttcast in the podcast index. No. Probably on Anchor.
But hold on. Hold on a second. Buttcast. Buttcast.
Oh, I know there's a Buttcast. Oh, yeah. There's one called the Buttcast.
We have the Fishing Report with Jeremy Butt. The Butt Metal Blastcast. Butt Metal Blastcast.
Is that a genre?
I don't know. And the Butt Fumble Fantasy Cast. Okay. How about
I just put do a search on Podcast Index for Butt Cast.
Well, I'm doing it in Sovereign Feeds, which pulls the...
I'm getting different results. Oh,
the Butt Cast. There you go. The Butt Cast. The Butt Cast with Caitlin and Joe. And there's two Butt Casts. Oh, nice. Okay, we're not putting that in. We're putting in Buzzcast.
No, we're not putting that in.
Buzzcast.
Of course. Oh, SoundCloud. Okay, of course. It's either Anchor or SoundCloud. Oh, there's an Anchor. Okay, one from Anchor, Yay. One from SoundCloud.
All right.
We got all our bases covered.
Okay, the Buzzcast has been added. You're done.
Okay.
All right, good.
So this led me sort of down a different trail that connected up with some other line of thought that I've had since Sam posted some stuff after last week's board meeting. And
you mean Sam saying, I already invented all that. You suck for not telling everyone I did it already.
Well, the thing that he's right about, and I've thought about it before, is we just need, there's a few things here. We do need to be better about attribution. You know, I don't even remember which tags that I have proposed that have gotten into the namespace. I literally don't remember which ones they are. I have a tendency to just kind of like, okay, that's done, and let's move on to the next thing.
Now I'm with you on that.
And I'm not saying that that's the right way to be. I'm just saying that that's my tendency. And I also, I've heard from multiple people that attribution is just more important than I'm not giving it enough mental weight.
Attribution to someone who created something, you mean?
Yeah, like a tag or some technology or something like that. I think we needed to be better about attributing the sources of where these ideas came from to the people they came from. So like Alex, you know, I mean, Alex is responsible for alternate enclosure, which is going to enable HLS if that takes off. I mean, he wrote the whole spec.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, his name is not on it on the podcast namespace. Same thing with the location tag. James Cridlin wrote the location tag spec. You won't know that he wrote that unless you go back and find it in the dark corners of GitHub discussions. And so I feel like there needs to be some sort of formal attribution in the namespace documentation that gives credit to the person or persons as applicable that sort of invented or came up or shepherded these things to their final form. But Kevin Finn over at Buzzsprout, he's the one that came up with Podroll.
Well, the only thing I just have to interject is that over time, nobody cares because sure. I have not invented podcasting. You can look anywhere you want, and unless you go to Dave Weiner's blog and search back to 2001, actually, you will not know the genesis of podcasting.
Well, it was Adam Carolla.
Adam Carolla, everyone's the pod father now, which I'm all fine with that. And by the way, for me, all glory to God, man, I was just a vehicle, so I'm okay with it. But I'm just saying attribution over time. I mean, to me, Dave Weiner created blogging. Believe me, you can't find that fact anywhere.
I think that it's more important than I realized that it was.
Okay.
And I mean, I agree with what you're saying. Over time, people forget, but partially people forget stuff because it's not written down anywhere. You know, it's only on some ancient, you know, scripting.com URL that barely exists anymore. And you have to go hunting for the story that covered it or something like that. But when the podcast namespace is literally linked off of Apple's namespace documentation or Apple's podcaster documentation, that's a pretty direct link.
Mm.
And I don't think that would get lost. And I think it would really, you know, I think it would help because, and we also, this is a bigger discussion because we need, so I was reading through Spurlock's SPC.
Oh yeah.
Document. And realizing that we don't have a place for some of this stuff. And what I mean is like L402.
Yeah. Okay. Good point.
The documentation for L402
didn't exists. Sam invented that with Russell. Come on, everybody knows.
Sam and Russell. Yes. Sam and Russell worked together to put that in place. And there are documents, but I think they're like in my email. Like,
exactly.
I don't think they're even
where they belong.
I don't think they're publicly in a GitHub. And I would love to host those in the podcast namespace repo. And then, you know, but then be able to, if we don't host the core documentation itself, we could at least link over to it. What I'm trying to say is there's two things going on here. I think we need to be better about attribution, and that'll be a project that I'm fine with. Yes, Daniel, you're right. Podcasting2.org. That is, you're right. That can be the home. And, for these things, and they can link out to the appropriate repos as necessary. You're right. And so I will take on the project of trying to go back and put the attribution in place for these things, and all the nasty emails that incurs because I've forgot somebody, but I'm cool with that. We'll just fix them as the mistakes are seen. And then maybe Daniel, if you have documentation for a thing like Russell and Sam do for L402, if y'all would be willing to link that up with Daniel on podcasting2.org, I think that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, the SPC documentation can go there. The ULID documentation can flow there. Like, there's a lot of these sort of like, there's a lot of these things that are not namespace that need a place to live because they're too spread out. And I know.
Put it in the LLM. That's what we need. We need an LLM for attribution.
There needs to be a podcasting 2.0 LLM. Where you can just ask it anything about podcasting 2.0. CSB, jump on that. So if we like, I know with the new version of L402, I've seen the emails go back and forth, Russell and Sam and Oscar. And I think Dobie Doss, they're all sort of working together to update what they're doing to make sure that what they call secure RSS, which is built on L402, to make sure that all works together so that Fountain and True Fans and Pod2 and they all are going to play nice together. Well, once that process is settled and we have some documentation, hey man, let's stick it up on podcasting2.org.
Yeah.
And be sure and link it back to the attribution, give it the attribution that is, you know, is needed. I want to be better about that. Because people, you know, people's I kind of just thought it was covered through, you know, we have the team repo that lists everybody who's a contributor to podcasting 2.0, but it just doesn't. I don't know. It just doesn't go far enough. It doesn't link to the correct stuff. It just doesn't. It's not adequate. And I mean, it's important for people to know where these ideas came from. And I accept Sam's chastisement with humility and grace.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I was going to say something else now, but I don't know how we got off on that tangent. Well, it's not even. I know what I was going to say.
Okay.
Right. Back to what we were talking about the namespace. The namespace is ubiquitous, and how we're building our own kind of distributed algorithm with the with Podroll.
Yes.
If the same amount of energy went into trying to figure out how to make video work on podcasting, if every hosting company put the same amount, not, and everyone has different levels, if everyone put the same amount of effort, energy, time, and resources, and that also means cash, into supporting more 2.0 features, I think that would be more beneficial than trying to catch up to YouTube, which is just impossible to do. And let's just stick to what we do well and do it even better and force the legacy apps into it if they don't want to. People will leave. And every single show I say, you got to have a modern podcast app. Go to podcastapps.com. The minute we go live, you'll be alerted. You click on it. Your app tells you we're live. You can't listen live. Within 90 seconds of me posting the show, you'll get the show. Every single show I say this. That's yep. That. And why do I say it? Because I don't want to hear the bitching and moaning for people. I don't. You didn't upload to Apple. So these types of things, transcripts. Okay, so Apple finally did transcripts. You know, but chapters. And, you know, and Apple does chapters. They do it in their ID3 tags, whatever. We have a specific chapters functionality, which is cool. And you can do cool stuff with it. And most of the hosting companies now automatically generate chapters for you. And some put images in for you. There's a lot of stuff that's going on. Let's focus on that. Let's focus on what we know works, what we know, what we developed, what is good. And we're spinning our wheels like hamster in the YouTube wheel, trying to figure out, can we do video? Because that'll save podcasting. Podcasting is under no threat whatsoever. At all. The podcast industrial complex is under threat. I don't care. That's different. We've come up with so many different ideas for them. They're not interested. They just want to do video. And that's not going to solve it. It's going to be a sad day when everyone implements video and everyone's pushing video and no one's watching. Because they're going to YouTube for that. That's just it. YouTube has a TV app, has a Roku app. People are watching it there. You can't compete with something, and probably financially, it's not worth it.
Man, I'm so reluctant. I understand what you're saying, and you're not wrong. Like, if they could make it work for a few shows, you know, I mean, it would be cool. I mean, it would be really neat.
Neat. That's what I want to be. I'm the inventor of neat. I invented something neato. That's right.
I just don't want to be the Debbie Downer on it, but I'm just so skeptical that it's going to like work out.
No,
I think you're right. There could be a lot of wasted effort here.
I see the cycles. I see the cycles come by every day on this group. And everybody's in there. You'd be glad you're not. But it's a huge group. And you know, let me see. When was the first post? August 17th, 2024. Mm. And they're still talking about video.
Yeah.
You know, that's just what it is. You know, it's like, but no,
it's going to take app support too.
Well, of course. And there's app support, but I'm just saying,
not for HLS.
Okay. Good point. But the bottom line is just don't fight it. Don't fight it. You know, the people will come back from their YouTube misery. They'll come back. I just want to do a podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, you know, all the successful people, Tucker and Megan and Joe and Theo and Tony and all these people. Yeah, they have stuff on YouTube. They have guests. You know, that's sometimes interesting to watch, but no one's, you know, it's just like, come on, they all do audio as a companion. And audio is where I think people still gravitate towards because you can do other things. And you're not going to be Theo Von. You're not going to be Joe Rogan. You're just going to be a podcaster. Be happy.
Be happy. I think I would encourage the process to go like this.
Here we go. Pod Sage comes in and sets everything straight. We'll make us all feel better. No, this is why there's two of us, Dave. I appreciate you doing this.
I would try to get some idea ahead of time of which apps support HLS natively already. Because I think the app support is going to be the harder lift than the hosting company support. The hosting company support is going to involve accepting the video upload, transcoding it into multiple formats, chunking it out into object storage behind a CDN. Whoa. That's stuff that that hosting companies are already pretty good at. You know, that's not rocket science. So I think that they would have an easier time doing that than the podcast apps would have implementing it into their apps. Because if the app doesn't already support video, there's going to be a lot of UI that has to happen. So it would be nice to know ahead of time which apps already have. We know which ones support video, but which ones might be some already that support HLS just by virtue of the libraries they're using.
Mm.
So you may get some of it for free. So it would be nice to have some sample feeds out there where you stick HLS as into the normal enclosure tag.
Mm-hmm.
And just do some samples, run through every podcast app you can find and see if any of them play it.
Yeah.
And then you just take notes about which ones do and which ones don't. Then you can go back and say, okay, these apps support video. This subset of those apps support HLS. And then you can say, okay, you could reach out to those apps and say, can you also support the HLS in the alternate enclosure tag so that we can have a unified feed? Because that's the dual strategy here. The dual strategy that Justin from Transistor is talking about is not just HLS video support. It's HLS as an alternate enclosure to an existing audio podcast so that the app can intelligently switch back and forth depending on whether you're watching or listening. That's what they want. And so I wouldn't like, oh, Nathan just linked up a podcast in the boardroom of a sample feed with HLS in the main enclosure.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be something like that would be a good thing to do. Say Pocket Cast, Podcast Guru, and more already handle HLS. Yeah. Do a survey of some sample feeds, find out which podcast apps already support it, and then you know where you're starting from. And we know that Pocket Cast and Podcast Guru they're down with the dark side. They know they're good to go on 2.0 features. They've proven that. They're going to push forward. So those guys would be easy to work with. I mean, Jason and Alex over there are great over at Podcast Guru, and the folks over at Podcast are great. So you could definitely, you know, work with them to get them to support the alternate enclosure version of HLS. And then just like run some samples. Get your process down first. Then you have a template to work with to sort of like show the other apps what to do. That's the way I would go about it.
You know, there's so many devices and things have been invented over time that just wind up being used differently than you ever expected. And, you know, I know people don't want to hear it, so I'm just giving another voice against what you said is, of course, perfectly reasonable. YouTube was initially developed for baby videos, for, you know, broadcasting yourself, for showing your home movies, for, you know, that's what it was.
It was like an expanded version of Justin TV.
A very good example. I don't even know if Twitch originally was designed to be for gamers, just to watch people play games. I have a feeling it wasn't. Percy Spencer, was working on radar technology at Raytheon and wound up creating the microwave, you know, which we now basically only use for popcorn. So there's all these things, and a podcast app, which is universally known, it's still the most powerful term in broadcast media wherever you get your podcasts. And I think it's be just as hard to roll out video to all podcast apps as it is going to be to roll out to all hosting companies, as it is going to be, you know, just to consume it that way. And I just want to warn people that we have so many other wins we can get right away by making it more attractive. I mean, the funding tag. Can we just get the funding tag front and center with a big ass button? Support this, like Sam Sethi is absolutely right. You click it on True Fans, and I hope True Fans comes out with an app soon, and you can hit it with your Apple Pay or your Google Pay. These are things that matter. These are things that actually matter, and will then you circumvent the Patreon fees. There's so many things that can be done. I just feel it's a waste of energy.
Yeah, I heard James talking about how he built a Stripe interface, but nobody uses it, and they still just use Patreon. I think.
No, it was worse. It was worse. He said, "Buy me a coffee, leave me a tip."
Yeah, that would be worse to you. That's I think that's a No Agenda uses the Stripe interface, and you know, I mean, and checks and everything else. That's all about the message, I think. That's not really about the tech.
Absolutely. It's
about the ask.
If you say buy me a coffee, guess what you're going to get? A coffee. If you say leave me a tip, guess what you're going to get? A tip. You know, people don't want to do the work. They're afraid to ask. Ask and thou shalt receive. It's just a fact.
But if you tell them to go to, if you tell them to go to podnews.net/donate, and if you tell them that over and over and over and over again, eventually that's where they're going to go. I think it's about the ask, really. Facilitates the ask, you know, the funding tag.
So
that's what I meant.
So we don't even use the funding tag finally starting to show up, and I promote it a little bit. We just tell people to go to our donation page and support us. Here's yesterday's rundown. Commodore Archduke, $1,770. Blake Luther, $1,000. Preston Isaacson, $222.22. Matthew Martell, $210.60. This is serious money.
Now, is that through PayPal? Which ones are there? Those PayPal, Stripe?
What are those are all. Those are all the Commodore Archduke is Stripe. The rest are PayPal. So we probably have about 20% using Stripe. It's on the same page. You can choose which one you use. And you go to knowledgeinthedonations.com and it's, you know, we're not asking you to send a coffee. That's the difference. How many times can I say it? And you've got to close the loop. Thank you, Commodore Archduke. Let me read your note. I really love you. Appreciate it. That's the system. You know, people are like, well, you know, you've been doing it since the beginning. You're the podfather.
You're all about the raspberry today.
I am because I'm disturbed by the direction that people go in. I'm like, you're just going to bump into a wall. So someone's got to be the guy saying, no, it's not going to work.
And you have the right to be disturbed because you've not only invented podcasting, but you also have been down this road with me via, I mean, like you've got the history to back it up. So
I did the network. I did the video. Yeah. I did all of that. And what blew it out of the water? The content. Serial. That took it all right back. And, you know, and everyone got all jitty and jacked during COVID. Everyone was doing a podcast. All the podcast companies were humming. We got new customers signing up every single day. And then Spotify blew $1 billion. Blew $1 billion. And it didn't work for them. And all they've done since then is fire people. Get a clue.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Get a clue. Yeah. You know, video, superstars, you know, high-end productions. No, that's not even what people want. They want to hear authentic voices. They don't want to hear all your ums and ahs edited out. They just want to hear someone talking about something they care about. They want to eavesdrop on a conversation. That's it. It's very simple. Don't try to professionalize everything. Which is what video always, always demands.
Too much polish.
Yeah. I love raw. I love hearing unprofessional voices. It's great. You know, I listen to all kinds of crap audio. I listen to podcasts with crap audio all the time. It's not the worst. It doesn't hurt me.
Well, I watch a lot of YouTube and I enjoy YouTube, but it's not podcasting.
No.
Podcasting is different.
Yes. Dave, let's thank some people. I've kept you way too long. I apologize. That is my fault.
It's all right. All good.
Sam Sethi is riding his bicycle. He is.
We need to look the horn. I don't have a horn.
What horn? Handy. What horn do you
want? The bicycle bell, I mean. The ching-ching.
Maybe do I have a horn? I've got I got the booty horn. Flip, flip, flip. Got that one. I've got I've got these horns. Got those horns.
No, that's not a bike.
That's not a good horn, is it?
No.
Anyway, Sam is cycling from Montreux to Lausanne through the vineyards, tasting wine and listening to the Podfather and the Sage. Hashtag heaven. And he sent us 777s for that from True Fans, of course, and also 1,000 sats. If we get secure RSS right, we can replace Patreon and other paywalls, including Spotify SOA. I am interviewing Oscar on Power about what it is, how to implement it, and how it will work. Good. That's on his, what is that? Is it the True Fans, the creator podcast? What is it called?
True Fans creator podcast.
Yeah, he's doing a
didn't even know.
Oh, it's a pretty good show. Let me see. True Fans podcast. Creators from True Fans. Creators from True Fans. There it is. Sam and Claire Waite Brown. Well, they haven't done
started this in late April. Okay.
Yeah, although they haven't done one since May 19th. Well, Sam's on vacation, so okay. It's hard. It's hard to do a weekly show. Trust me. 55 from Chad F. coming in from Castomatic, and he said, "This is a row of swans." First lit boardroom boostagram from Castomatic. All right.
Nice.
Very nice. Source D, 1701. I'm waiting for Adam's new gig as a vibe coding Twitch influencer. And I'm waiting to see the subsequent vibe coded GitHub repo in the interim. Dude, you would be frightened. You would be frightened.
That's a good point, though. You need to vibe code a GitHub. You need to vibe code this up into GitHub.
I don't think
so. As the polish, the ending, the ending triumph.
I don't know, man. It's scary code. I don't know if I'm ever going to get it completed. What I have works. It's not how I want it to work. And every single LLM that I said change only this, it goes right in and says, "Oh, I don't need to use your feed parser. You don't need that user agent. You don't need any of that. No, come on, let me change your liquid soap script. It can be much better." I just won't listen to me. Let me see. We have 223. That's a show number boost. Thank you very much. From user 18342022503822 6 on Fountain. Thank you for your vibing in the refactoring, folks. Yes, indeed. And I think that's it. We didn't get a lot. I think we were so enthralling today that everyone was just listening. They didn't think about boosting.
Yeah, or that's also called boring.
I don't know.
So we were boring.
Maybe.
It's possible.
I got a lot off my chest.
I've been known to be boring before. It's in my DNA.
I never get bored of hearing you talk, Pod Sage.
You would have thought that after all those, I would have been prepared.
You'd be ready. Kevin, you'd be ready to rock. Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin Bay, $5. Thank you, Kevin. I got a better system here. Cameron Rose, $25. Thank you, Cameron. Chad Farrow, Chad F. Thank you, brother. $20.22. Mark Graham. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mark Graham, $1. Thank you, Mark. New Media, that's Martin Lindisco, $1. Pod Page, that's Brendan over there, $25. Oscar Mary, $200.
Woo! I think he needs a little big baller for that.
Baller! Oh, yeah. Shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Thank you, Oscar, and congrats on the launch. Joseph Maraca, $5. And that's it. We got some boosts, though. We've got, let me scroll all the way down. Here we got Boostergram 1234 from a Chris You Know through Fountain. He says, in response to Salty Crayon's boost, a reminder that if a podcasting app were to add NWC, you'd be able to, and that's Nostr Wallet Connect, you'd be able to connect to at least 15 different wallets, some custodial, some non-custodial, plenty that adhere to Keep It Simple Stupid. You don't need to interact with Nostr to connect to a wallet via Nostr Wallet Connect. The solution exists.
Say again?
The solution exists.
No. The piece before that. Just the
all
piece.
Of it?
No. I just want to hear what was said about Nostr Wallet Connect. I want to hear it. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'd already archived it. Let's see. Let me go back. You don't need to interact with Nostr to connect to a wallet via Nostr Wallet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's just poorly named, really.
It is poorly named.
Yeah.
1234 from CLOS on Linux through Fountain. He says, is what Dave is saying about a straight MP4 file true? Of course it's true.
I don't know what it was, but of course it was true. Absolutely.
Yes. That it needs to always load everything before it can play. I put an MP4 file on object storage and both the player in my web app and the default video element started playing it immediately. And you would see HTTP 206 returned, partial data or whatever it's called. And you could see a little buffer line too for what part it had loaded already. It depends on the server and the client. Most of the podcast apps have just
downloaded
the whole thing.
Yeah.
If you have a very intelligent client and your object storage provider supports range requests, then yes, I can see it's possible to get pieces of the file in a streaming fashion. But like historically speaking, most of the client of the podcast apps, they do grab the whole thing, but you know, maybe that's changed. Maybe that'll change over time. Comic strip blogger. Wait.
We're already at the delimiter?
No, this is a different CSB. This is a 1515 from CSB to Fountain. He says, oops, my pod is called Field Recording by CSB. Field, not fired. Okay.
Oh, that was, he followed up on something, I guess. Did we say something wrong? Did we say it wrong? I'm sorry.
Let's see. Oh, user, let's see, June 1st. Is user 94018734888328.
Change that.
Sent 3,333 sats through Fountain. He says, and the podcaster said unto the serpent, we may use any RSS host, but streaming video to YouTube will make our audio suck, and we'll be distracted by scammers in the live chat. And the serpent saith unto the podcaster, surely thy audio shall not suck.
Right on.
Chris Last, that's Chris over at Jupiter.
Ah, that guy. Okay, Chris.
5,000 sats through Fountain. He says, appreciation boost. Sometimes you just feel the need.
He's been knocking it out of the park, man, with this week in Bitcoin. I got to boost him again. He's really knocking it out of the park.
I got too many podcasts. I got to prune.
That's the podcast where I'm always delighted when it comes out. And, you know, and he's done two shows in the past 2 weeks, but it was like 3 weeks, no show. And it hurt me. I was listening to like others. I'm listening to this. I don't want to listen to this. I want to hear This Week in Bitcoin, man.
Well, I kept up with Chris through Coda Radio, and then he left that show. So I've not been able to keep up with him properly since.
No, it's a great podcast.
Yeah, I need to go and trim down so that it pops up in my feed quicker. Bruce, the Ugly Quacking Duck, 2222, Real Ducks through Podverse. Trying out Podverse. I keep hearing stablecoin in my dreams. Help me, please. LOL, 73s.
73s. Kilo 5 Alpha Charlie coming at you.
Again, Bruce, the Ugly Quacking Duck, with another 2222 through Podcast Guru. He says, things always switch around. When the dust settles, I hope podcasting will still remain fun and an important part of us all.
I guarantee it.
Now everybody share a hug, share a secret and hug.
Wait, don't we need to play that jingle?
What is it? Everyone share a secret? Everyone hug and share a secret, right?
This is it.
Oh, there's no winning. We don't like to foster a competitive atmosphere, but we laugh a lot. Now everyone hug and share a secret.
Classic. Comic strip blogger.
There he is.
The Delimiter. 14445 through Fountain. He says, howdy, fellow Bitcoiners, Adam and Dave. Like yourself, me, myself, and many in your audience are Bitcoiners. So for the Satoshi's sake, y'all, please subscribe to the podcast Bitcoin and ... Just go to Bitcoin, www.bitcoinandshow.com, or search for Bitcoin and ... in any podcast app. It's a cool podcast about Bitcoin. Very interesting and chillaxing for us Bitcoiners. Yo, CSB, PS, follow me on X at CSB. Amazingly, just three letters, CSB. I reciprocate follows.
I think I've been on that podcast.
You've been on the Bitcoin and podcast?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think so.
A lot of podcasts, brother. I can't keep them track.
I've been holding off. I have 75 podcasts or interview requests.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, and I'm holding
That's
off.
Much.
Yeah, and then the minute our app is out of beta, I'm going to start contacting everybody. Oh, I just found your email. Yeah, I'd love to come on the show. Gee, I was cleaning up my email. I was cleaning up my email, and I saw that you sent me. Yeah, I'd love to do this. Now they have something to talk about.
That's a classic. Oh, I see that I missed this email. Meaning I saw it 12 times and ignored it because I didn't have time.
I hit A for archive, and now I'm ready. Yes, I'm ready for you now.
That's it. That's our group.
Oh, thank you all so much. We appreciate the support. All this support goes directly into the podcastindex.org funds to ensure that we keep this system rolling, because that's really the community right there. Is supporting the servers, supporting everything working, and we just appreciate it because I love that we set this up, and I love that it's community supported by podcast hosts, podcasters, podcast apps, and listeners like you. go
get a tote bag. Go to podcast.
There's no tote bag involved. Go to podcastindex.com. Of course, we love the boost. You can boost us. You can the sats all go into our node, which still is, I think, one of the lowest fee nodes. There's no fee, essentially. I think there's no beginning fee. We just try to give people liquidity. If you need any, let me know. Hit me up. And it's just sitting there, just trying to route stuff around. And I think I haven't even looked at it for so long.
It's still running.
No, you would get alerts if it wasn't running. And Graham is always so kind. He's like, "Oh, you guys got a big node. We got an update. I'll do it at 3 a.m. for you guys." I just love that guy.
Are we up to date? Did he upgrade us recently?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually at 2 a.m. upgraded us, make sure it got all back up and running. Sent me a ping when I had to unlock the node. The guy never sleeps.
He does not sleep. No, him and Russell from Pod2, neither one of them sleep.
Who says it's not the same guy? I don't know. It's very possible.
I post something on podcastindex.social, and Russell does a favorite on it, and I know it's like 3 o'clock in the morning there.
Yeah, and he's just like, he's up. He's never sleeping.
Get some sleep, bro. Yeah.
For your fiat fund coupons, we accept that, of course, PayPal. Go to podcastindex.org down at the bottom. Scroll down. There's a red donate button. That's how you can support us. Any amount. We appreciate it all. And thank you, Boardroom, for being here. Øystein Berge will be next on the live stream. I forget to promo him all the time. Øystein will bring in his crazy music. And we'll be doing that all live and lit with real-time remote item splits and everything.
And now on Castomatic.
Yes, now available on Castomatic. Brother Dave, are you going into the woods again this weekend? What are you doing?
No woods.
No woods. No woods. Any home improvement projects?
Finishing our closet organizer in our newly spiffy closet.
Yeah, let me guess. You mean Melissa's closet where you have one small side?
Yes.
Yeah, that's how it works.
I have one hanging rack and a cubby.
Thank you very much, Boardroom. We'll see you next week right here for Podcasting 2.0 every Friday.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
I don't have any pants on right now.